Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
You have your copy of God's Word. If you turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, and going to be preaching a message, and just like the title that I was going to preach, the old story, this is the old story about the Lord Jesus and how He can change someone. But Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to let you just remain seated today. There's quite a bit of reading. You can just stay seated. Acts 16, start with verse 16. And here the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. I'm praying now that you help me. Anoint me, God, just for a little while to be able to preach on this text. God, if there's one individual in this building this morning that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, may this be the day. May this be the very hour, God, that you convict their lost heart and show them the need for salvation before it's too late. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this very familiar story here on what must I do to be saved. That's what we've titled the text this morning. If you do very much soul winning, or if you go around and give people gospel tracts and you belong to this church, then you realize that our favorite gospel tract is the one called What Must I Do to Be Saved, which tells this story. It's kind of brief, but it tells it. And we like to give that to folks to understand how they can be saved. If you don't have any, there's plenty up there. We've got a whole bunch in the closet. We'll give you a whole handful. Take them with you. But this text we just read this morning is detailing a time in the Apostle Paul's ministry. It was during his second missionary journey. He was there, and he had spent time in Troas before this. You may remember that. He was tarrying in Troas, waiting on the word of the Lord, waiting for the Holy Spirit to speak to him, to tell him where to go next. He wanted to go north, and the Holy Spirit forbid him. He wanted to go south. The Holy Spirit would not allow him. He wanted to go this and that, but the Holy Spirit kept him there in Troas, tarrying until that night. You remember Paul was there and received a vision in the night of a man from Macedonia that said, Come and help us. And that was his sign that the Holy Spirit wanted him to go into Macedonia. Well, when he gets there, the chief city is Philippi, And he meets a lady named Lydia. The Bible calls her a seller of purple. And he expounds to her the gospel of Jesus Christ. She gets saved, and so does the rest of her family. She's a well-off woman. And so Paul spent a little bit of time there at her home, teaching the scriptures to her and helping her family. And then he moves out further into the city and begins preaching the gospel of Christ. If you notice in our text, the human penman, of course, is the man named Luke. He's the physician. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. And he says that he mentions the word us and we. He's talking about himself. He was there and was a personal witness to what all was going on. And so while they're there, they picked up Timothy, and Silas is with them, and they're continuing to preach the gospel throughout the city of Philippi. And that's where this story picked up from. And as they're going around telling people about Jesus, there is this young lady that comes. The Bible says in verse 16, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. It says that she'd brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The divination, that comes from a Greek word called python. Now, we all know what a python is. It's a great snake, right? Well, that's the thought behind it. But in this Greek culture that Paul is in at this time, what that was, it's Greek mythology. The python was a huge serpent, and they believed it to be an oracle there, had an oracle at the Mount Parnassus. And python gave the ability, they say, to allow people to predict the future. They were an oracle, or sometimes they're referred to as mind readers or something of that nature. Well, they say that this young lady has that. Well, what she has is actually a demonic spirit. And she's able to go in front of them. It didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what Paul and Silas and those were preaching that day. They were preaching about the Lord Jesus. And no doubt, Paul's message was the way unto salvation. So she picks up on that, and through the power of a demonic spirit, she's walking around in front of them announcing them coming. Now, this was very troubling to Paul and his team of missionaries here. And so she walks in front of them crying out with a loud voice, "These men," it says in verse 17, "these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, over here on the sidelines is the people that actually owned this girl. She was a slave to these men, and she worked for them. And as she did this, she would go through from place to place, giving these so-called fortunes or predicting things. And then people would give them money. They would walk behind her, and they would no doubt have something where they collected money. And so they would hear this, and they would see it come about, and they'd say, "Oh, wow, look at this." And so they would give money to these people. That's how that's what they made their living from, this young lady. They used her. And you'll find today that people use people to gain money off of them. Innocent people, or people that don't know any better, people that they can use, and so they'll use people. That's what these men are doing. They could care less about this girl. They just want to use her for what they can get money from. But she is able to tell people what these men are doing. She's demon-possessed. Look at verse 18. And it says, "And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour." And so Paul had put up with this girl as long as he could. I'm sure he was trying not to make a big scene. She was walking around, though, announcing everywhere they went. It was really a troublesome thing for them, because it was kind of like a sideshow, you know, like a circus coming into town. And so no doubt, if she walked through in front of them the whole time, she was getting people's attention. They were all looking at her, listening to what she was saying. They weren't paying any attention to Paul and what he was saying. And so it troubled Paul, and he put up with it as long as he could. And finally, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he cast the demon out of this girl. He just says the words. So the Bible said he turned and said to the Spirit. So God had given him this apostolic power to be able to cast out demons, such as he did a lot of the apostles. And so Paul finally commands the Spirit out. Look at verse 19. "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans.'" Well, listen, if you want to get somebody riled up, all you got to do is mess with their pocketbook. If somebody wants to dip into your income, that's going to get you extremely irate. And that's exactly what's happened here. These men have noticed now that she is no longer able to help them with their gaining of wealth through her soothsaying, through her divination, through her demonic practices. And so they're going to have to just get rid of her at this point. Well, this makes them so mad. And living in the Greek and Roman culture that they did, this wasn't a Jewish place. This was a Gentile country. These were pagans over there. They worshiped Greek gods, Zeus, Apollo, Mercury, all these different gods that they'd made up. And so when this happens, these men go before the Roman magistrates. This is a Roman-ruled city. And what Paul is doing, they're saying, is against the law. They're teaching things contrary to what we're supposed to be hearing. And so they make up these lame charges just to get Paul arrested and bring him before the Roman magistrates. And the magistrates would have been Roman soldiers that were kept in the city to keep order of everything. And they enforced the laws. They had to. They were compelled to arrest Paul based on the accusations by the citizens of that place. And so what Paul's doing has not been sanctioned by the Roman government. You see, when Rome was concerned, everything had to pass through the government to be sanctioned to be able to do it. Paul didn't do that. He didn't get a license, if you will, to go out and preach the gospel. That's what these men are charging him with. So, look at verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they'd laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So basically what's happened here, a lynch mob has evolved here. And so all these people throughout the city have all got together and they've caused a big uproar. And now they're all in on it. And so they want something done and they want it done now. Well, to please these people, these Roman magistrates, they allow them to openly beat Paul and Silas right there in the middle of the city, right there in the market square. It'd be like going to downtown Knoxville in Market Square and somebody stripping your clothes off and taking and beating you senseless with a whip. That's what's happening here, with everybody cheering them on. These wicked people all around them, cheering them on. Now, if you remember, the Jews had a rule. You could not beat someone over 40 stripes. That's why they would say 40 stripes save one. That meant they beat them 39 times so they wouldn't go over the limit of 40. These are not Jews. These are Romans. The Romans had no such law, and they would just beat somebody until they couldn't stand up or until they couldn't breathe or whatever. They didn't care. And so they would just beat them, and they beat them and beat them and beat them. And I believe that's what Paul's referring to when he says he was beat with stripes above measure. He mentions that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He was beat in stripes above measure. I believe this is what he's referring to there while he's in this place in Philippi, Macedonia. And so it says they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Listen, they really have it out for Paul and Silas. I mean, it's not enough to just beat them senseless, but now they drag them into the worst place in the prison they could put them, down in the very bottom where it's dark, where it's wet. No doubt there were rats and bugs and everything else down in the hole that they put them in. And not only do they cast them down to that inner prison, but they also shackle their feet and their hands to something. And so what they would do, they would take these shackles, and it was a chain with two clasps around it, and they would put them around the ankles, and they would screw them down where they couldn't get them out, and they would fasten them to, usually it was a pole that was mounted into the ground, and they would put it around that pole, and then they would have to lay back like this the whole time, chained down like that on the ground. And so you can only imagine having been freshly beaten like that. You've got open wounds, open lacerations on your back, and they throw you down in here, chain you up with your back to the ground. How miserable that must have been for Paul and Silas being down there.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.